mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 7. Baths are good, Zuko thought wearily, sneaking from the tavern's bathhouse in through the kitchen's back door, silently dancing through the blind spots of the preoccupied cook at the stove and her harried sons as they scurried in and out with food and dishes. Uncle might have found a fellow pie show enthusiast in the bartender, but Zuko still preferred not to use the front door. No sense asking for attention. No sense at all, given the bartender apparently wasn't just a bartender. Order of the White Lotus. What on the earth is that? And Uncle's a grandmaster? What the hell's going on? Out of the kitchen, through the common room's shadows, and up the stairs. They actually had a room for once, even if it wasn't much more than a glorified closet with a cot and a window. And how Uncle had pulled that off, he really didn't want to know. He should want to know. He should be down there kicking in the bartender's door, or at least leaning on it, listening in to Uncle's conversation. But he was tired and sick in a way fire couldn't heal. Door closed behind him, Zuko curled up near the window, breathing in spring's night air. Baths were good. Clean hair, clean skin, clean clothes, though half of them were borrowed. And he was wearing a too familiar embroidered robe over them all to hold in as much of the bath's heat as he could manage. Too bad a bath couldn't do anything for his mind. No witnesses. 11 bandits, snuffed out like candle flames. Candles I could light again. Tactically, he knew Uncle was right. There had been too many to take them with just bare hands and steel. And once they started bending... Once they started, they couldn't leave anyone alive. If we're discovered, we're dead. And they hadn't been good people, to put it mildly. He still felt sick. I don't want to die. I don't want Uncle to die. Zuko dug his fingers into his scalp, nails biting even through hair. So get a grip and deal with it already. It didn't feel right. Nothing felt right. Letting go, he stared at his fingertips and wondered when his own hands had betrayed him. Still strong despite everything they'd been through. Still calloused with years of stubborn blade work and firebending katas. But other marks were starting to appear. Red rubbed skin, where Asahi's reins tugged against him. Nails rough trimmed almost to the quick after hunger had left them prone to tearing. Thin white scars on the back of his left hand. He thought they were from that ill-fated attempt to drag the Avatar through the blizzard, but he wasn't sure. It scared him that he wasn't sure. You had him, Zuzu, Azula's voice crooned in his mind. You had him and you were just too weak to hold him. At the fortress, at the North Pole, in the desert. No, Zuko told himself. Remembering fear and panic and rage as charred flesh knit back together under his fingers. Not that time. 3 master benders and an idiot with a boomerang against him. On his side, an injured man and the sure knowledge of a returning enemy. Loyalty to the Fire Lord did not require suicide. It never had. Soldiers might choose to fight to the death. He'd heard what other nations did to captured firebenders, and it was the stuff of nightmares. But loyalty meant living for your lord, not dying for him. He was alive, and Uncle was alive, and they'd have another chance, just as Iroh's soldiers had after he'd broken the siege of Ba Sing Se. He wasn't a traitor, Azula. He wasn't a coward. Did you read the casualty reports? It wasn't just Lu Ten. Those earthbenders made the terrain inside the wall a death trap. We can't afford losses like that. Not if we want to hold the rest of our territory in any kind of good order. If we take land, it's ours. If people live there under our laws, they're our people. If we can't give them something better than the war, what's the point? But it was the Fire Lord's war. It's not my problem. I have my orders. Capture the Avatar. alive. Azula said their father didn't care anymore. Azula always lies. Breathe. Fold fingers into fists. Unclench them. The avatar was gone, and Uncle was alive, and he was not a traitor. He just had to think about what to do next. Scars and wear and calluses and the weird tickling of hair against his ears. Why couldn't he think? Someone knocked on the door, brisk but quiet. Hello? A fumbling at the latch. I'm looking for Lee. Your uncle said you could help. Act normal, Zuko told himself, standing to reach the door. Would help if I had any idea what normal is. He braced himself and opened the door. I'm Lee, he managed. What's the... Green. A kind of nice, darker forest green, bordered by pale yellow like a shaft of sun through shadows. Only, if the frogs closing her dress were there, then the soft roundness he was looking at was... Flushing, Zuko jerked his eyes up to meet a blue gaze. Where are you from, Kyoshi Island? Almost a head taller and at least a few years older, she looked down and back, her own jaw dropping as expressions flitted across her face. Annoyance, surprise, sudden shock. Zuko stared right back, fingers curling. Don't you dare pity me. What's the problem? He said roughly. Is someone hurt? I'm Sue. She said, eyes narrowed slightly in consideration. My grandma has an awful headache. Your uncle said you'd help. She backed up a step and crossed her arms. He didn't say you were raised by raven wolves. I was not! And you're half right. Dad was from Kyoshi Island, left to join the military over here. No way was he wearing a dress. He just never went back. Zuko blinked, struck by the memory of a southern tribe wolf tale above red and white makeup. It had been pretty funny afterwards, once he'd gotten over being slammed into a wall by the Avatar's fans. Why are you telling me this? You remind me of my cousin, Ying Pei, Zuko said ruefully. He's lousy with people, too. And when he's surprised, well, it's not pretty. She tilted her head. Coming? This was so many different kinds of wrong. It made his head hurt. Just get through it. I need to get our teapot. We've got hot water downstairs. She gave him a hint of a smile. That's what your uncle said you like to work with, right? Yeah. The floor was solid. He could feel it under his feet. Why did he have the same kind of knot in his guts as when the ship was about to fall into the trough of a rogue wave? Just keep moving. No candles lit the room the old woman rested in, though a basin of water sat on a warming pan of coals near a worn towel. She looked up when they opened the door. Brown eyes slitted. So you're a healer, young man. Just inside the doorway, Zuko froze. I'm not a healer. I'm a firebender. I'm not Earth Kingdom. I'm not a waterbender. If Uncle didn't need this for our disguise... I'm your enemy. Can't you see that? You don't want me here. He's not real great at talking, Grandma. Ziyu shut the door, forcing him forward. Go on. It's all right. No, it wasn't, but do what you have to. Grimly, Zuko picked up worn cloth and reached for hot water. I think he thinks Grandma is gonna eat him. Zuko thought wryly. Not quite like Ying Pei, then. Her cousin didn't usually know someone had ill intent until they stole his lunch out from under him. Lee seemed perfectly aware that Grandma was best handled with kid gloves, or possibly iron pincers. She was proud enough of her status as a fine silk weaver at the best of times. Headaches made her downright cranky. Leaning against the wall by the door, the younger weaver watched Lee work with interest. Outside of ports that the water tribes visited, how often did anyone get to see a bending healer? No one told me there were pretty colors. flickers of gold and green and violet, shimmering through cotton as Lee moved the steaming towel over Grandma's forehead. Like stories her father had told her of the Southern Lights, dancing in Kyoshi Island's winter skies. How did he know where Dad was from? Siu wondered. Kyoshi's been neutral since the war started. Most people have never met an islander. A puzzle, and not the only one. Lee, well, from his height, she'd have guessed he was 14, tops. Then again, maybe Short just runs in the family. His uncle's pretty compact. Must be. Lee certainly didn't act 14, and once he looked past the scar, he didn't look 14 either. Once he looked past the scar? I'm an idiot. Burnscar looks years old, and he's with his uncle? No parents? War orphan. Had to be. Spirits. No wonder Lee was jumpy. And no wonder he didn't know what to do with his eyes, either. If he was the late teens his voice gave away, he would have been burned just about the time he'd started figuring out girls might like to go on walks in the moonlight. Ouch. Still, some things about Lee just didn't fit. That robe, for one. Pine dark, embroidered with old-fashioned fire thorns and ruby rust on every hem and seam. Not the expensive, flashy materials someone would use trying to impress. She was a master weaver. She knew what was in style. No, that was old-fashioned, wild silk thread, spun from broken oak cedar moth cocoons and dyed with cochineal dew, roasted with sea salt. Earth and air, water and fire. Someone was serious. Mushi wearing a protective scarf was one thing. He was as old as Grandma, probably. The kind of person who adhered to traditions because they suited him. Both of them? Either respect for the spirits ran in the family? Somehow, that just doesn't seem to fit Lee. Or they'd run into the same kind of trouble as the villagers near Hei Bai. After the Fire Nation burned the forest down. Angry spirits who didn't care if the people they hurt were innocent. Which was scary. Kind of makes sense for him to be panicked, though. Great-Gran used to say benders touch the spirit world to get their power, and it can touch them back. Even that didn't sit right. There was just something about Lee that... Pale hands shifted as he plunged cloth back into steaming water, and Siu swallowed. What? Lee asked roughly, glancing her way. I thought the Dao were your uncles, Siu said honestly. She hadn't had much chance to look inside their room, but it wasn't much of a room. They're yours, aren't they? Lee looked down at calloused hands and something shut down in his face. The roads aren't safe. Which was no answer at all, and more than she wanted to know. I've seen Dad look like that after he had to kill somebody. Cool and calm, Siu. Remember what Dad always says. Be like a mountain lake. If you're right, Lee's already jumpy. Don't make anything worse. No wonder you're such a confused young man, Grandma said sternly, squinting to test the absence of pain as Lee put the towel down. A healer learning steel? What is the world coming to? The door creaked slightly. And why should one not? Mushi said genially. The waterbenders of the North Pole are some of the fiercest warriors anywhere. I have heard they recently turned back an assault by the Fire Navy. I heard they had help, Lee said darkly. A giant water monster rampaging through the fleet. Mushi's hand made a sort of swimming motion. Would count, yes. Spirit monster? Grandma said skeptically. Nonsense. The spirits haven't bothered with our world in over a century. They've abandoned us. She scowled. Just like the Avatar. He didn't abandon you. Lee? Mushi said quietly. It's wrong, uncle. The Avatar has to save us. The Avatar abandoned us. The Avatar's returned and he's going to fix everything. That's all I hear everywhere I go, and it's crazy. The Avatar is 12 years old. He's... what? Ziyu thought, stunned. The Avatar is a child. An idiotic, naive, hyperactive little airbender who thinks everybody deserves to live. And people think he's going to save them? How? Ask the Fire Lord to think really, really hard about the war and decide to play nice? Knuckles were bone white in clenched fists. You want somebody to save you from the Fire Nation? Grow up and do it yourselves! The door slamming was almost an afterthought. Mushi blinked at the space where his nephew had been and sighed. I must apologize. Indeed you must, Grandma snapped, eyes glinting. You're training that boy as a healer? He may be a bender, but he'll never do. I'll go to him, Siu cut in, before her grandma could really get going. Respect for your elders was honorable and right, but it was also the reason Dad had left Kyoshi Island in the first place, and the reason she'd been stuck with Grandma on the trip back home when Mom had decided to stay to help nurse Aunt Wen through the latest bout of fever. Thanks, Mom. You owe me. Big time. I like to hear the truth, even if he is as blunt as a dropped axe. She stood straight and gave Mushi a sober look. It is true, isn't it? Mushi hesitated. I might leave out idiotic. Oh, boy, Ziyu said faintly. My nephew spoke nothing but the truth, Mushi agreed soberly. We have encountered the Avatar on our travels, and while he is a master airbender, he has no wish to take a life. If people are hoping for a great warrior to stop the Fire Nation's advance, they are mistaken. He bowed to Grandma. If you will excuse me. Good riddance, Grandma sniffed. Ziyu sighed, already considering what she'd have to do to clean up, given Grandma's fading eyesight. Towel, water, coin purse. Oh no! Grandma, did you pay him? Grandma straightened, obviously feeling well enough to act her stature. We are silk weavers, Ziyu. If a ragtag tramp of a water-blooded peasant doesn't have enough sense to hold his tongue when... What are you doing? It's dark in here. She probably didn't even see the scar. Much less, oh, respect be damned. He was bending, Grandma. He's hungry. Snatching clinking strings from the purse, she dashed out. Light was flickering under their door. They must have had the window open, though Ziyu couldn't feel any draft. She couldn't make out what they were saying either, but she didn't have to. Older, sane relative trying to talk sense into a sullen teen was easy to pick out. She knocked. Lee, you forgot something. The door inched open, and Lee swallowed. I'm sorry? Don't worry about it, Siu said bluntly. Grandma can't stand Ying Pei either. She looked at him in askance. I know your uncle's already given you an earful on this, but listen, if you're good, and I'm betting you are going to be good, you're going to have to deal with a lot of people like Grandma. This isn't like the border towns or whatever little port you came from. This is the heart of the Earth Kingdom. I hate to say it, but a lot of our nobles and artisans think acting like that is a good reason to cheat you. She pressed the coins into his hands. Don't let them. He stared at her as if she were as weird as the Earth Kingdom's bear. But why? Dad was from Kyoshi Island, remember? Ziyu smiled wryly. I've seen it all before. He always said, noble blood might be a gift from the spirits, but noble behavior is a gift you give your family and yourself. She backed up a step and grinned. Besides, you kind of did me a favor. Grandma's going to be so mad about you, all improper behavior, and what is this world coming to? She's not going to even think about pestering me to stop pining after that no-good soldier boy and settle down with a nice rich young man. As if rich men's wives don't get to weave the way I do. She winked at him. You're welcome? Siu! Rang down the hall. Good luck, Lee. Still grinning, she dashed off. One nag-free night coming up. Yay!
I must give my compliments to Master Zuiyo's wife, Iroh said, leaning back on his cot as he rubbed a bit of candle wax between his fingers. That was delicious.
You can probably tell her in the morning if you catch her early enough. Zuko's eyes were closed, but he lay tense on the futon below, obviously awake despite the darkness.
Early?
Iroh arched an eyebrow. Firebenders rose with the sun, true, but given the chance, most people slept later.
Bread with dinner, made this morning. She's probably up hours before dawn.
Ah, yes. Iroh smiled. I forget, sometimes, how often you found the ship's ghost watch convenient to be unobserved.
Not as easy as you'd think, Zuko said quietly. Bakers, millers, brewers, smiths, sometimes. All kinds of people get up in the dark.
He shifted on the futon.
Where are we going?
Full Moon Bay, eventually, Iroh answered, allowing the conversation to shift. One of these days he would pin Zuko down about the blue spirit, but not tonight.
We will make a stop shortly beforehand to pick up some documentation.
False documents.
But very good forgeries, I am assured, Iroh said cheerfully. From there, we should be able to reach Ba Sing Se unhindered. The city is vast and full of refugees. We should pass unnoticed.
You mean hide? But it wasn't accusing, just tired.
Yes, Iroh acknowledged. We are tired, nephew. We need rest and time to breathe before we plan our next move.
And I intend to stretch that time as long as possible.
We have a bounty on our heads, uncle. Hiding's no good if someone knows where you are.
But no one would.
Oh, he had not explained, had he?
Master Zuiyo does not know who we are, Iroh said firmly. He recognizes the moves and certain words, but the only name he knows is Mushi.
Zuko's hand lifted, hesitated near his face.
I'm not exactly easy to miss, uncle. If Azula finds this place,
then it is well that Zuiyo knows my nephew is a waterbender, is it not?
Iroh said pleasantly.
You set up that thing with Ziyu's grandma on purpose.
It was convenient, the retired general allowed.
Two leaves in the forest, nephew. I rely on your courage and determination.
You do?
Spirits, the surprise in his nephew's voice.
And was that a hint of hope?
Toph was right. I do need to tell him I need him. I have always relied on you to do what you believe was right, nephew.
Goldeyes glanced at him, then away.
Why did she do that?
Because Siu has her own honor, Iroh said plainly.
Get some rest, nephew. If we move too slowly in the morning, I fear we are destined to meet that most unpleasant woman again, and some destinies are best avoided.
With a snort of laughter, Zuko pulled the covers over his head. Smiling to himself, Iroh turned the bit of wax over again, recalling Zuko's stricken look as the candle flared in the wake of their argument.
I know I can rely on you, nephew, but I think wherever we hide, we will need shutters.
Small enough price to pay for that glimmer of hope on Zuko's face.
That was the boy I knew years ago, the one I thought I lost with Lady Ursa.
How very odd that speaking of the Avatar should bring it close to the surface.
No, not the Avatar. That Aang is a child expected to do the impossible.
Only for the Avatar it was possible, or so the legend said. Even the boy himself seemed to think so. Still, why should that strike home with his nephew, who truly did have an impossible task?
Oh, spirits.
His Zuko, His dear, shy nephew who worked so hard and loved them all so fiercely years ago. Who failed so often but struggled onwards because he had hope. He never believed it was impossible. Iroh let out a quiet breath, resisting the urge to pound his head against the wall. Zuko needed his sleep. Yet another true proverb. There is no fool like an old fool. All this time, he had thought Zuko's quest driven by pure, stubborn determination. A burning need to take the cruel fate, the punishment, that had been unjustly laid on him and force it down Ozai's throat. I was wrong. It was never about rage. Not rage as most knew it, at least. Not the bitter anger driven by hate. No. This was a brighter, purer flame, and all the more desperate for it. He loves his father, and so the task must not be impossible. And if he fails again and again, it is not because it cannot be done, it is because he is as Ozai has always told him. He is a disappointment, a failure, no true son of the Fire Lord. Not a punishment, not to his nephew. A gift, a poisonous, terrible gift that Zuko had taken to his heart. For it was a gift from his father. And what else should he do? Spirits, what do I do? Sleep, Iroh decided sternly. You were wrong. No, you were wrong. What you told Zuko is still true. You are both tired. Rest and see if a better answer presents itself. And hope the spirits have no more bandits between here and Ba Sing Se. You're twitching, Zuko said dryly, leading Asahi down the dusty road. Uncle Iroh blinked at him, almost innocent. Oh, and why would two innocent traveling healers need to be alarmed, Lee? Right, like he needed any extra reminders to watch his tongue. Out here where anyone might be listening. Every once in a while they passed other travelers. Sometimes a few weary stragglers. Sometimes whole caravans. For a hidden bay the Fire Nation's not supposed to know about, this place is awfully popular. You're twitching, Zuko repeated, letting his gaze flick over the road. Rocks, trees. Just wait. Whatever it is, it'll get us later, when you're not expecting it. It has been remarkably quiet these past few days, Uncle grumbled. Like I said, wait. It had been quiet. Quiet enough, long enough, that all his screaming nerves had pretty much screamed themselves out, and were now quivering in exhausted knots while Zuko held his breath in anticipation of the next disaster. At least I've got the teapot bluff down. He'd had one or two false starts in the past few days, complete with nervous looks at the little firepot that seemed to flare contrary to breezes or fuel. But he'd persisted, and slowly things seemed to fall into place. Using hot water was still hard, but it was a good hard, like a tough practice or climbing down rough cliffs. He could handle it. Unlike Uncle, who was all but tearing gray hair out over trying to get candle flames to flux into the healing fire, those few times they could practice unobserved. He'll get it. We just need some time. They'd have time, if Uncle was right about Ba Sing Se. And yet, it's too easy. Someplace they could hide. Someplace they'd be safe. Someplace no one from the Fire Nation had ever, supposedly, been able to invade. So obviously anyone who made it inside couldn't be Fire Nation, and no one would suspect them. Perfect. Too perfect. It's a trap. He didn't know how, not yet, but he hadn't survived 13 years in the palace and more than 3 scouring the world without listening to his instincts. They might be flawed and tattered and singing tension down his nerves whenever a stray lizard bird twitched wrong, but they'd kept him alive. Perfect and pretty equaled poison. White jade, flutter hornets, Azula. But Uncle thinks it's safe. No, Uncle hoped it was safe. He might have intelligence and reports and secret society contacts, but he'd never been there. And while Zuko knew his grasp of military strategy paled next to Azula's, he knew this. A good commander never, ever declared an area safe. Not until he'd ground-truthed it himself. He's counting on me. Okay, he could deal with that. Stay calm, stay back. Let Uncle be the friendly face while he watched for the jaws of the trap. Then, depending on the situation, either tell Iroh what he'd found and hope he listens. No, he promised he would. He promised. Or, if everything had just dropped into Ko's lair in a handbasket, grab Uncle and run. Decision made, Zuko breathed a sigh of relief, murmuring endearments to Asahi when she turned her head to look at him. He had a plan. Not much of a plan, but given what usually happened to his plans. Yuyan archers, typhoons, ocean spirits, Azula. Given that, he'd just have to keep his eyes open and be ready to improvise. Speaking of... Someone thinks they're being sneaky, Zuko murmured, not looking where the brush was rustling. I see. Iroh smiled, gentle as a Komodo rhino about to take down an annoying little gate. I believe we should allow him to think us fooled. For now. Harmless travelers. Right. Damn. Turning off the open road to reach the oddly shaped rock Iroh's source had described, the retired general stopped and cleared his throat. Hello? No names! Shorter than Earth Kingdom average and not at all skinny, the man who slunk out of the bushes still reminded Zuko of a weasel mink. Without the pretty coat. No names, I don't know you, you don't know me, I was never here. Urgh! Casually gripping the man's wrist, Zuko held him while Iroh checked the little documents their nameless contact had pressed into his hands. They appear to be in order, Uncle said calmly. Of course they're in order. You don't think I'd risk my life, or your lives, with bad papers, do you? You've got what you were promised. Let go! Who are you afraid of? Zuko asked darkly. Afraid? Me? Do I look afraid? Ha! The man yanked against his grip and blanched. Son of a hog monkey! You can let me go anytime. Who'd trace fake papers back to you? Zuko said, voice low and dangerous. Tell me. No one, I swear! He yanked harder and yelped. You are, perhaps, unaware of the consequences of that particular hold, Master Nameless, Iroh observed thoughtfully. Another such unwise move is likely to fracture your wrist, which would do much damage to one of your more lucrative sources of income. Sweating, the forger gulped. Now, so that we may avoid all unpleasantness and leave you to enrich yourself further. Who is it that you fear more than simple refugees longing for a better life? The Dai Li, the forger stuttered. They work for the Earth King, or so people say. They don't leave Ba Sing Se, usually, but when they do, they're earthbenders. Cross them and you just disappear. Or worse. Worse? Iroh asked levelly. I don't know. Some people say sometimes those they take go away for a while, and when they come back, they're not them anymore. No one knows why, no one knows how, but it happens, and it's not going to happen to me. At Iroh's glance, Zuko let him go. Thank you for the generous advice, Iroh said genially. We wish you the best of fortune. Straightening his robes, the forger sniffed. You're going to need more than that. They don't let animals into Ba Sing Se, not with refugees. With a last irate glance towards Zuko, he scurried back down the road. They don't
Zuko swallowed hard, patting Asahi's neck when she bumped against him. Uncle? Iroh sighed. I have the name of a reputable caravan master as well, he said plainly. We should be able to find a representative of his near the fairies.
Oh. Breathe. In and out.
He hadn't been gutted by a sword blade. It just felt that way. I am sorry, nephew. Let's go, Zuko said harshly, tugging on Asahi's reins. We're wasting daylight. He could make it to shore after he'd been blown out of his own ship. He could do this. Besides, it wasn't like he'd had the right to expect anything else.
Silly Zuzu,
Azula's voice crooned as he walked.
You know nothing you love is yours to keep.